going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey!
What's up, Gil? Hope you're doing all right, buddy. Hope you're doing all right.
Had a little bit of
a family thing last night for Goose, so he'll be back on Monday. Steiny's back east, so he's going to be back on Tuesday. Evan Giddings, Mark Randy filling in for you, taking up until Willard and Dibbs, who are out live up north at Cache Creek Casino Resort. Looking forward to chatting with them in a bit. Getting into, you know, just kind of the news of the day, and I don't want to spend too much longer on it because we won't have much closure, it appears, on D'Amador Lenore's arrest last night in L.A. involving a car that was double parked. His buddy had a gun in the car, and Lenore was taken in on obstruction of justice for basically playing keep away with some keys. You know, one thing, Granny, that I was thinking about during the break. And again, it stems off of his conversation with Willard and Dibbs. It's not as if the Niners haven't had, and in general, sports, like, people in positions of leadership have done bad things or made mistakes. There's no doubt about that.
Happens all the time.
But I do think for someone like Lenore, I hope that this moment can be something to learn from, because he's relatively young in his career. He's 25. But in that corner room, and really in that secondary, he kind of is the elder statesman.
No doubt he is.
Even though he's only 25 years old. And so that's another part of this, too. It's like, I hope that we can look back on this and just say, hey, that was a learning experience for him. He messed up, made a mistake, and is still going to be able to lead by example moving forward.
I could ask you right now, with Malik Mustafa undergoing surgery this offseason for a torn ACL, who the hell are the Niners going to start at safety? Which is part of course, the defensive back room. You've got, obviously, Lenore at one corner spot. You've got Renardo Green at another. Maybe you go for a rookie up inside as your nickel corner. But your safety spots, without Malik Mustafa available for at least early part of the year, like, you're looking at Jair Brown, who fell out of favor last year and was not good, and you're looking at, I don't know, someone like Jason Pinnock or Richie Grant or George Odom, who's mostly a special teams ace. Like, you don't have a reliable starter to turn to at safety until Mustafa comes back. And even Mustafa is entering his second year in the league and was good last year. But, like, you don't know exactly who that is. Like, they have holes in the defensive backfield, especially at safety. And D'Amador Lenore looked upon as the leader, at least of that group. Maybe not the leader of the whole defense because he got Fred Warner. The leader of that group, though, for sure, is Lenore. You need everyone, specifically the leader, to be on their P's and Q's at that point, when you have such a young group around him.
Does this quote from D'Amador Lenore on Wilder and Dibbs, I don't know, hit you any differently listening to it, now knowing the news about him today?
Just our record alone was just not the standard of what we normally used to. Ever since I've been here, we've been in the playoffs, a championship game, in the Super Bowl. So that's what the standard was. Like, we're not missing the playoffs. Like, that's rule number one. And for us to do that last year, it was just, like, a sickening feeling. Like, I felt like we let each other down, you know, with just not holding that standard.
Yeah, it's obviously all about football, but the word that obviously jumps out is standard. And, you know, that's why, again, it's like, it's a mistake, but him getting arrested is, that's not the standard. Him saying that we let each other down, you know, last night, him getting arrested, he let his teammates down. And I honestly think Lenore does feel that, because he appears to me the kind of guy that is all about the team. And he's someone that wants to help the Niners. But yesterday, he let his team down.
And like, if you were to get truthful answers out of Lenore or Fred Warner or even Shanahan and John Lynch about why they went 6-11 and why, as Lenore says, they, quote, let each other down. Like, obviously, individuals maybe didn't play as well as they had in years past, and there were injuries and yada, yada, yada. But where did it begin, right? Like, what led to the struggle of a season? It began with the offseason full of distractions and full of issues. Not necessarily legal issues, but, like, offseason issues. Drama. Weirdness. Where you've got every time a player was interviewed last year, like, George Kittle grew sick of this in training camp. Every time George Kittle is, a microphone is put in front of George Kittle's face, the first question that he was asked every single time was, you got any advice for Ayuk dealing with this situation? And he must have been asked that question 50 times over the course of last offseason. And as the season approached, it only got more pressing and those questions became more common. I'm not trying to compare the Ayuk last offseason drama to this Lenore thing, because they are completely different things. But if you were to get honest answers out of the Niners, Evan, about, again, quote, why they let each other down and why they went 6-11, as Lenore said, a lot of them, I guarantee you, would say, we got off to a bad start last offseason. And while this does not make this a bad offseason for the Niners, it is clearly a bad thing to happen to them in the offseason, and bad things for the Niners in the offseason has a pretty sour taste in their mouth right now.
Yeah, you hope it's a blip on the radar, but the larger point I completely agree with. It's the idea that you weren't aligned coming into the year, and that residue was left the entire season. Yes, you got hurt by injuries. Yes, you probably didn't play as well as you could have individually, but the team was about we and not me. And that was my biggest issue heading into the year with the Niners, and why I think that I'm actually probably bullish on them this season, is because I still think they have a lot of talent. Lenore is a big part of it. But because also they just appear to have put all that stuff behind them. And I think they are entering this year with a clean slate. All right, the Warriors had a clean slate last night going into the draft. Now, they had the 41st pick. You and I were on the draft show last night. And we found out beforehand that they had traded the 41st yep. pick to the Phoenix Suns for the 52nd and the 59th. Which they then eventually moved up to 56 to select two players. Alex Tui out of Australia, a 6'8 wing at 52. And then at number 56, they traded up to get Will Richard from Florida, a 6'4 guard. And the Warriors now have two players. After having a night to sleep on it, was there anything about the draft, Warriors or player-related, that sort of hit you?
I think these are, again, as you mentioned, Alex Tui, a wing out of Australia, and Will Richard, a guard out of Florida. These are dudes that understand how to play the game of basketball, that in their very different like paths to the NBA draft have played a lot of basketball and a lot of high-level basketball, right? Will Richard in the SEC for the last handful of years played on the national champion Florida Gators team last year, and Tui, the wing, 6'8", out of Australia, has been playing professional basketball. No one's going to mistake the NBL in Australia for the NBA, but like, that is a professional league. You got to be a man to play in any professional basketball league, so that is a big deal. These are guys that have a lot of basketball experience, that have played a lot of high-level games, and that generally have a good sense for the game of basketball. Now, are they any of them the best individual shooter in the draft? No. Are they the best passer in the draft? No. Are they the best rebounder, the best defender, yada, yada, yada? No, they're not the best at anything. What they are good at is, generally speaking, understanding how the game works, how it flows, an ability to fit alongside other players. One of the more common, I think, words that Steve Kerr has used a lot, and this is just a direct line to the type of player that he likes, these players fit in the connector mold. Steve Kerr is huge on connectors. The translation there is essentially, do everything in your power to connect the ball to Steph Curry, get him the basketball, and all of your effort should go towards giving Steph the best look at the basket possible. And I think these are two guys the Warriors feel relatively comfortable with fitting into that general strategy. A couple of guys that know how the game works and flows and will be able to, when called upon, to at least assist the Warriors in getting Steph looks at the basket.
Yeah, I'm with you. And they fill out the back end of the roster. They're cheap options. The Warriors have had... they've had more success in recent memory with picks in the 50s than they have picks in the top 10.
Kind of scary, but you're not wrong.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe they just stockpile late second round picks and build a roster.
Trade
out of
all of their first round picks for 5 second round picks each.
Yeah, in fact, the Durant deal actually would look pretty good if they had been able to acquire those second round picks. No, I think those guys are. Look, we'll see. They're probably going to be Santa Cruz Warriors at the beginning of the season, and knowing the Warriors and some of the age on their team, I think we're going to see them at some point next year. But the one sort of nugget that crept out afterwards from Mike Dunleavy Jr., I thought was pretty interesting, which was, apparently, this was on the TK show, Odyssey podcast, go check it out, that the Warriors tried to move up into the first round. And it also kind of coincides with the story that Joe Lacob wasn't present for the first half of the Valkyries game on Wednesday. And then he was present for the second half, and he came back and obviously watched the team against the Liberty. But I do believe that they were trying to make something happen in the first round. I wondered if they would move towards the back end of the first, but then Dunleavy the day before the draft in his pre-draft presser said, well, you know, we're probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
So it was surprising for me to hear this morning, Mark, again via the TK show, that they actually did look at moving into the first round, and it was in the middle. Like, there was a player that they had in mind.
Mm.
Now, I have a theory about that player. I think they wanted to get Walter Clayton Jr.
Will Richards' teammate at Florida.
Exactly. And he was at 18th. The pick was made by Washington and then traded to Utah. I think that's who the Warriors wanted. Another detail about the potential pick, we don't know for sure, was that it was a ready-made player. Dunleavy said that it was a middle-round pick and a ready-made guy in the first round, and they chose not to obviously trade for him. I don't know for sure, but just a hunch, I feel like Walter Clayton Jr. was that player.
Hmm.
And I think it's interesting juxtaposed to the guys they did select, granted, far farther back in the second round, because Clayton Jr. is more of a playmaker. He is more of a creator.
Ball in your hands, give me a bucket.
Less of a connector. Now, again, I don't know if that's the player, but if my hunch is right, I just think it's interesting that they drafted a couple connectors, but the guy that they might have had their eye on was something I think this team absolutely needs, which is a guy who can create for himself and others.
It's really interesting. I wonder who it was. I really like Walter Clayton. I mean, he made himself a ton of money in the NCAA tournament. I know he wasn't necessarily great in that championship game when they beat Houston, the Gators did. Oddly enough, that was when Will Richard, the Warriors pick at 56th overall, was really, really good. But Walter Clayton was the Florida savior in multiple March Madness games. I would not be shocked if that was the guy they maybe had their eyes on. However, one thing that maybe makes me feel like it might not be him is what you were talking about with what Dunleavy said. Dunleavy said on Monday, when asked about potential movement, it seemed to be... seemed to me, at least, that when he was talking about potential trades, it was less about in the draft and more about around the draft and other moves outside of the draft. So what it would mean to me is if that was the mindset they were going into the draft with, and who knows, maybe he was just lying to us in the media, which is certainly possible, or at least not telling the whole truth.
Yeah, withholding truth.
But if they go into the draft, let's just pretend that that actually was their mindset. Go into the draft not really feeling like a trade into the first round was something that they were searching for, actively searching for. Then what would change their minds and make them be willing to trade into the first round as if someone fell a lot, right? Like someone they expected to go early didn't, and they had to try to then steal that guy. They had an opportunity they didn't think was going to be available. Now you see a bunch of different mocks. I didn't see Walter Clayton Jr. that much higher than like the teens in a lot of mocks.
Mm-hmm.
Had him, actually saw him later at times. Now, I know a guy like Kasparis Jakučionis, a guard from Illinois, he was a guy that I think a lot of people expected to go earlier. So I have no inside information. This is just me trying to make sense of what Dunleavy said. It would seem to me that if they changed their mind and wanted to trade up, that would have been for someone who fell. And I don't really think Walter Clayton fell. I'm with you in terms of the Warriors need a player like that, definitely. And he's so much fun to watch. But if they wanted him, I feel like that would have been their plan going back to Monday when Dunleavy spoke to the media before the draft anyway.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, at home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Mark Grandian for Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson. What'd you make of the Warriors draft last night? You know, I thought the detail this morning was interesting because you're right. It did sort of fly in the face of the tenor of his comments before the draft.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, wait a minute. And not only was it the first round, but it was like middle of the first round. Ironically, Jakučionis was at the pick the Warriors did have.
Yeah, Miami picked him.
And they, of course, sent it over to the Heat for Jimmy Butler. But I don't know, like when I heard pro-ready player, middle of the draft, my eyes are just floating through all the players it potentially could be. And, you know, whether it was or wasn't Clayton Jr., I think that, I guess I wonder why then the move was to just move all the way back to the end. Like, were there really only a couple players that they liked? We'll never know. But the Warriors, I think, they don't appear to me, Mark, to be a team that's looking for young talent. You can use it, but like a project doesn't benefit them right now.
Absolutely.
Someone has to be ready to step in and contribute immediately, in all likelihood as a bench player. You know, the one position that I feel like is probably the most up for grabs on the team is the shooting guard spot, and that so happens to be the position that Clayton Jr. plays. Also, potentially Richard. I don't think he's as good of a player, but no. Point being, like, I think the Warriors might have been in the
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
A spot where you're right, like they're looking for a guy who could follow a potential talent. And if not, well, then we just need some guys on the roster. It does feel like they're not really looking for, they're not in a position where they can look for the next big thing.
No, like, If they're getting the next big thing, the next better be now. Like, they have to do whatever possible to help the team now. If it helps them 5 years from now, then great. Like, that's awesome. No one's going to be upset at that. But, like, and there's a running joke, and this is probably the case on every one of our shows. I know it's definitely the case on Willard and Dibbs, that all roads lead back to Kuminga. But Kuminga is, like, the prototype for the other kind of player. And not necessarily now, but where he was when he was drafted years ago. A project. A guy who has this, like, sky-high potential, and you can see all the athleticism and the physical traits, and you're like, man, if he develops a shot, and if he can dribble, and he understands in every moment where to be, and it becomes second nature, this is going to be a hell of a basketball player. But the Warriors don't have time to figure that out. It was the same thing with James Wiseman. Like, they just didn't have the time to continue to be patient with that. So they traded him away. And that might be what's coming with Kuminga this offseason. Who knows? We will find out maybe as recently, as soon as, I mean, it could happen this afternoon with Kuminga. Like, who knows? But where the Warriors are at now is, and it's so much more difficult to draft a project, like, in the second round. Because those projects with the sky-high potential, they are lottery teams that are bad right now, that don't feel pressure necessarily to win right now, that are willing to play the long game and say, all right, 3 years from now, he's going to be an all-star and we'll be good. But it's not terrible if he plays all 82 games for us, averages 35 minutes a game, and struggles. Like, we can live with, like, if I'm the Bulls, I can live with that. Are we going to win this year if I'm the Bulls? Probably not. If I'm the Blazers, same thing. Like, you can deal with that sort of thing.
Blazers just went and got Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell the Blazers are doing. They also drafted your guy, Cedric Coward, formerly out of Willamette.
They did.
But
then they traded him.
And then they traded him to Memphis. You're right. The point being, though, is if you are a team that doesn't have those expectations and does not have a star in Steph Curry that is winding down and has a year or two, like, max to legitimately try to win, you can afford drafting a project who might not be ready yet. The Warriors, they don't have that ability because they have already tried that and it has, I mean, failed spectacularly, I think is a fair way to put it, for all of their lottery picks over the last handful of years. So they don't have that ability. So you're right. If they were to trade back up, it's not for a lottery ticket. It's for someone who can help them now, maybe who has a lower ceiling but a higher floor. That is generally what you get later on in drafts, I would think, for the most part. But yeah, they don't have the ability to take chances like that.
No, not right now. But you did mention his name, Jonathan Kuminga. And after the draft, Mike Dunleavy was asked about him because we're getting up until that point where you got to figure it out. We're in restricted free agency right now. I believe June 29th, Monday, is the day where that period sort of takes a turn. And so the Warriors have to basically decide what they're going to do because it will determine the rest of their offseason. Here is what Dunleavy had to say about the situation.
Yeah, I mean, we're working through it. You know, we've got some players that are a bunch of free agents, qualifying offers and all those things to come about. We got to figure that out. But, yeah, that's kind of the next order of business here. After the draft, we turn to free agency and you know, some of that team building stuff. So it'll, yeah, it's coming up for both sides. We'd like to get something figured out as soon as possible, but yeah, that's the way it goes, I think, sometimes with restricted free agency. So, you know, not going to stress out about it too much. But I think the main thing is making the right decisions, figuring the whole thing out, whether that's you know, day one or day 10 or whatever it is. So got to be prepared to, you know, take it as far as it goes. But yeah, the priority I would think for both sides is to get something done early. I mean, I think from his end, ultimately he's the one as a free agent that has to sign the contract. So by him doing that, if that happens with us, that's reflective, I think, of his desire to be here. And, you know, we'll see, as they say.
He's so political. I thought it was,
I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, he does.
I do, but
I don't. What I think that it means, and for anybody hearing that, 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation. What you interpret as Mike Dunleavy Jr. saying about JK. Ultimately, Kuminga's the one that has to sign the contract. If it happens with us, it's reflective of his desire to be here. He doesn't sound like a priority.
Isn't there a part of that, though, that makes it seem like the Warriors are saying the decision is Kuminga's and he has the contract offer and the Warriors are just waiting for him to decide?
A little bit. I mean, I do think that he's putting the ball in JK's court, which is kind of what he wants.
Now, they're playing politics because what they're laying out might be, well, the offer is $10 million per year below what Kuminga is willing to sign for. And if that's the case, the Warriors are saying take this bad deal in your mind or leave it. And leave it is to test restricted free agency, which, by the way, the 29th is the last day for a team to extend the qualifying offer. And the Warriors will do that. And that qualifying offer is what makes them a restricted free agent. So he's not officially restricted, but he will be once the qualifying offer is issued. And then come Monday, that's when other teams can begin negotiating with a restricted free agent. So that's when he will get an idea of what the rest of the market is.
Yeah, the free agency, I think, opens on July 6th, but the negotiating period begins on Monday. So we're going to find out. Like, you know, it's funny with the whole JK saga now this summer. Like, I am paying more attention to what other teams are doing, potential destinations.
Yeah.
Like, did you see what the Nets did in the draft?
Well, they drafted all five. They used all five of their first-round picks.
Yeah, they drafted four guards. Like, what are you doing?
And they took on money as part of the Porzingis deal.
Exactly. So I'm starting to feel like that might not actually be a place that wants Kuminga. Otherwise, why wouldn't you try and clear a financial path to offer him something? Obviously, the team that has interest in him right now that's been most widely reported is the Heat. And that might be a trade path. When I hear Dunleavy talking like that, I hear a guy that isn't in love with a player. And it's been because we don't have to relitigate it. There's just been a lot that's happened. I don't think either side is necessarily happy with the other. I think they're fine potentially coexisting. But the last thing that you can have happen is this carousel of last season of, well, the head coach doesn't really like him in these situations. And, well, he's a great talent, and so we're going to try and dangle him and see what we can get. Oh, but then he's under contract now, so we have to figure out how much we can get for him, what his value is. Like, this to me is the biggest distraction. We were talking about distractions earlier in the summer. Mm. This is the biggest one with the Warriors. And while Dunleavy didn't say much, I think that also speaks volumes. And they're just not in love with each other. This is not a budding relationship. I think it's a relationship of coexistence at this point because neither side is happy. The coach isn't getting what he wants from the player, and the player obviously isn't getting the opportunity that he wants from the organization.
I think it's really interesting the way that Dunleavy phrased this, and I'm just going to read this last portion of the quote to you again. This was when Mike Dunleavy, Warriors GM, was asked about how Kuminga's desire to be a Warrior will factor into his free agency. And Mike Dunleavy said, quote, "I think from his end, ultimately he's the one that has to sign the contract. If it happens with us, it's reflective of his desire to be here." I call total BS on that. Because, you know, when you asked me if I were the Giants and I was entering a postseason series right now, who would I start as my third starter? Who would be my game three starter?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of by process of elimination, I said Verlander. Kuminga signing a contract with the Warriors is not because he wants to be a Warrior. It's because of process of elimination. Because he has no other recourse. Like, he signs a contract with the Warriors because, as you laid out, the Nets don't want to give him a contract potentially. or at least not one that he's willing to. Like, if Kuminga signs a contract and stays with the Warriors, it's because he doesn't have any other where to go, and he's forced to stay here.
I'm with you. We do got to hit a break, though, but I want to keep this going on the other side. If you have any thoughts, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll play that sound from Dunleavy back on the other side and dig deeper into it. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on Angel Reese in the Chicago Sky. You can hear that game on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel via the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. Evan Giddings, along with Mark Grandy, and for Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson. If you're planning a road trip, Tahoe, Napa, or down the coast, make sure your first stop is Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive in, stay in your car, and be done in about 15 minutes. Your ride will be ready before you even pack the snacks. Visit BarrierOilChange.com for coupons.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings and Mark Grandy in for Steiny and Goo. Steiny's going to be back on Tuesday, taking an East Coast swing, and Goo's with the family right now is going to be back on Monday. So shouts to them. Talking about, yes, the NBA draft, and I have, there is something about it that bothered me a bit yesterday, but with regards to the Warriors, it's kind of everything around the draft. Like, some of the things they tried to do, obviously they traded back, got two players, Alex Toohey and Will Richard. But the comment that we're talking about is from Dunleavy last night. I'll just play it again. It's about Jonathan Kuminga. Was asked what they're going to do as we trend towards the end of restricted free agency and open up all of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're working through it. You know, we've got some players that are all, a bunch of free agents, qualifying offers and all those things to come about. We got to figure that out. But yeah, that's kind of the next order of business here. After the draft, we turn to free agency and you know, some of that team building stuff. So it'll, yeah, it's coming up for both sides. We'd like to get something figured out as soon as possible. But, you know, that's the way it goes, I think, sometimes with restricted free agency. So, you know, not going to stress out about it too much. But I think the main thing is making the right decisions, figuring the whole thing out, whether that's, you know, day one or day 10 or whatever it is. So got to be prepared to, you know, take it as far as it goes. But yeah, the priority I would think for both sides is to get something done early. I mean, I think from his end, ultimately he's the one as a free agent that has to sign the contract. So by him doing that, if that happens with us, that's reflective, I think, of his desire to be here. And, you know, we'll see, as they say.
You know what it reminds me of?
Like, what?
I don't know if you have. Have you ever been in a relationship where you've lived with someone and you both know that it's coming to an end, but just because of like logistics, you can't really move out.
Yeah.
Like everyone, whether it's, maybe it's with a former roommate or like in a relationship with a significant other, you both know that this is not going to end well if you stay together.
But
well, how am I going to get this couch out of here? And I've built a really nice life here, and I don't want to be the one to move first, and it's going to be awkward. Why should I have to go? But you have to go. Like, that's what this is heading towards. And it just feels like with the way Dunleavy is talking about Kuminga, it's one side doesn't necessarily want to budge until they have to, but eventually they will, and both parties are going to be happier separated.
I tend to get the same sense, and I think it's a good analogy. But I also think it's a good analogy in this sense, where maybe both people, both parties in their heart of hearts agree, and maybe it is left unsaid, but it's kind of this unspoken thing that they know to be true, where we would be better, both of us might be better off if we were separated and no longer together. But I think where your analogy really comes into play is also because the Warriors feel like what might be best for them is eventually no longer having Kuminga, but maximizing what they could get back for Kuminga. And that would mean not trading him now, because right now you only can get back 50% of whatever contract he signs. So you sign him to a deal. And by the way, there might actually be reason to sign him to a bigger deal than you might be comfortable with, because then when you eventually potentially trade him in January, you can get back more money in return, which generally means a better player. But like, you're in that relationship that you can tell is ending, and you say, let's just stick it out for three more months. Let's get to the end of our lease or whatever the situation is, and then we'll go our separate ways. That might be what the Warriors are looking at, because they feel like what's best for them is have him with them for a few more months and then maximize the potential return for him.
I agree with that. The issue is that, like, what if you don't find somebody to take the lease? what if you can't find somebody that's willing to step in and relieve you of the issue at hand, which is you guys don't want to be together? Or at least it feels for me, and I totally understand it, by the way. Like, I completely get why Kuminga doesn't want to be here.
Absolutely.
I also understand why the Warriors and mainly...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kerr doesn't feel like he can win with him. I see both sides of it. It seems like an inevitable split. And while I get that you can't just pull the trigger on, say, Monday when it opens, I think that if there's a chance to get some value, you do have to take it, because you run a risk of letting this, again, inevitable breakup that I think is impending, hang over a season that's supposed to be maybe your last best chance to try and compete for a championship. You know, that's the other part of this too, is if you really are, maybe not all in is the best phrase, but like 90%, which is what Dunleavy has said, if you're 90% in on this season and you don't see Kuminga contributing to it largely in the role that he wants, which to me, that's the disconnect,
yeah,
you got to do something about it.
Let me ask you this. If I were to ask, why do you think the Warriors season flamed out? Like, what's the overarching reason?
Why the Warriors season flames out?
Yeah. What, like the past season that they just finished, like why it ended the way it did?
Oh, their older guys broke down.
Yeah, and their older guys broke down, namely Steph, but Draymond is also in that category, maybe even to a lesser degree Butler. Yeah, they broke down, one, because they're old, but two, because they started playing playoff basketball in February, because their first half of the year was so bad. They had to make up ground in February only to make the play-in. They didn't even make the playoffs. That's how big of a hole they dug themselves early in the year. So if you're the Warriors and you're trying to maximize this next year, a big part of that is we have to get off to a better start than we did last year. And they obviously got off to, what, a 12-3 start or whatever it was, which was a great start. But yeah, like I'm talking about, like, in general, first 40 games of the year. Get off to a better start. Don't be 500 halfway through the year. You want to be, I don't know, 25-15 or 27, whatever it is. Like, you want to be around that number as opposed to 20-20. And how do you do that? It might not be by having a guy on your roster in Kuminga making an okay amount of money who, for whatever reason, you don't feel comfortable playing, or when you do play him, you don't feel great about his ability to impact you winning basketball games. Now, you can have the highest opinion of Kuminga out there, and I will not shame you for that. You might think that he can help this Warrior team win. All of the evidence suggests that he has not been able to do that at any kind of consistent level for the Warriors so far. And maybe the majority of that blame falls on Kerr and the coaching staff. And that is a somewhat fair opinion to have, in my opinion. But I don't think anyone could argue that Jonathan Kuminga, to this point, wherever the blame falls, hasn't helped the Warriors consistently win basketball games. And if your goal is to avoid what happened this past year, where your veterans broke down, you can't force them to play playoff basketball beginning in February. And the way you do that is by winning games to begin the year. And the way you win games to begin the year is put together the best possible roster you can to begin the season. And that might not mean, and that means maybe Kuminga not being on the roster to begin, because he hasn't proven through the course of his career to impact winning with the Warriors at a consistent level.
Well, and again, it's to me that the ball's in his court. Like that's what Dunleavy said when he said yesterday for free agency, essentially, like, Jonathan's got to make a choice. And if he decides to sign with us, that's an indication he wants to be here. Like, that is just such a melancholy...
It's also not true.
Well, no, I mean, I do think that if he signs the contract, he wants to be here. But he wants to become a star. He wants to be a multi-time All-Star. And I just don't see how Kuminga right now looks at the Warriors and says, I can accomplish that here now. Now, if Kuminga has the foresight to say, well, Kerr's only under contract for one more year. Steph and Draymond and Jimmy are going to be gone in a couple seasons, or, you know, beyond the peak of their powers. That's going to be my time. Then I could understand it. But all indications and what I gleaned from the Slater sit-down he had a couple days ago is he wants it now. And it's not available now.
Well, yeah, but Dunleavy's saying essentially the ball is in Kuminga's court. If he signs the contract with us, it's evidence that he wants to be here. Like, I mean, he's restricted. Is that actually true? Like, Kuminga signs a contract with the Warriors, one, because he doesn't like the offers he gets elsewhere, or two, because the Warriors match the best offer he gets elsewhere, and he's forced to sign with the Warriors as a result of the restricted free agency rules. I don't think the decision is Kuminga's. The decision is the Warriors. Do the Warriors want to let him walk for nothing? No. Do the Warriors want to get something back for him or have him on the roster for at least 3 more months? That's the decision they have to make, in my opinion. Are they willing to take back 50% of whatever contract that he offers for whoever player it's going to be, or do they want to have him for 3 more months, 4 more months, whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I don't think you can let him walk necessarily, but why I think it is his choice at the end of the day. I guess the decision to me is not necessarily about restricted free agency. I don't see a team out there that's willing to give Kuminga the kind of money that he reportedly wanted last year. And it's not like you can just extend an offer sheet just to try and see if the other team's going to... Like, you have to be willing to sign that player if you extend an offer sheet. And I don't think there's a team right now... The Nets might have been the last one. And judging by their drafting, I'm not sure that they want to acquire a Kuminga, but perhaps they do. The choice he's going to have to make is if he wants to go or if he wants to stay. And I think for all parties, it just feels like the breakup is a little more...
Okay, but
a little more logical.
If he decides he wants to go, how does that decision impact what happens?
Well, the Warriors can sign and trade him.
Yeah, but isn't that decision ultimately on the Warriors?
Yeah, but you're not going to keep a guy that doesn't want to be here.
Say he signs... So
you're just going to stash him for 3 months?
Say he signs for, I don't know, what would it be, $20 million a year? Like, say he signs, or maybe it's $18 million a year. Say he signs for something like that. And the Warriors have a deal in place with, I don't know, the Miami Heat or whatever it is. And I'd have to look up the Miami Heat contracts, but there's a $9 million player on that Heat roster, but the Warriors aren't particularly interested in that $9 million player. And they say, you know what, we'll just sign Kuminga to the contract and work on a deal for the full $18 or $20 million in January. Like, Kuminga can decide to go, but the Warriors still hold all the cards here. They don't have to agree to a trade to just to appease Kuminga.
Yeah, but I just feel like you're setting yourself... I hear it. No, that's completely logical, but I think you're setting yourself up to have a really rocky rest of summer, beginning of training camp, and start to season with a player that doesn't want to be on the team. That, to me, is not how championship or even contending years start. Whether you think the Warriors are title contenders or not, that's what it appears they view themselves as. And teams that are getting ready to try and win a title or win multiple playoff series, I don't know. It doesn't strike me as a team that enters a season with this like shadow overhanging everything that you're going to be ready to get that done. Like, they have to be aligned. It's one of the reasons why I didn't feel like the Niners were in a good position last year. I would feel exactly the same going into next season for the Warriors as I did for the Niners last year if Jonathan Kuminga doesn't want to be on this team and still is. Like, to me, it's that big of a distraction.
It is a distraction. And I think it's beneficial for the Warriors to move on as soon as possible, even if that maybe means cutting their losses and getting back less in return. My only point, though, is that that's the decision the Warriors have to make. They have to balance, all right, $20 million for Kuminga, sign and trade, bring back a $10 million player. Is that $10 million player good enough? Is that worth enough that discourages us from putting up with the difficulty of having Kuminga on the roster until January? Like, I don't think it's so cut and dry as just get him out of there, deal with anything else. It is a fluid situation where it depends on the contract that is being offered. It would be entirely different if Kuminga was not restricted, if he was just a total free agent, unrestricted free agent. Like, it's different because then the decision is purely Kuminga's. Like, Kuminga could get a $10 million offer from the Nets and say, you know what? I prefer that versus the $15 million from the Warriors. The Warriors are giving me a better, more expensive deal, but I want my own team. I want to reset. That's Kuminga's decision. That would be, and it sucks for the kid, Kuminga himself, because I don't think he has much choice in the matter here.
He can't walk, but him saying, like, I guess my assumption is that just forcing him to come back, which you're right, is not his choice. That's not going to go well for anybody. It's not going to go well for the Warriors, and it's not going to go well for him unless he acts completely differently than he sounded in the piece of which he directly spoke to Anthony Slater. It wasn't through a mouthpiece. It wasn't through his team. It wasn't his agents, which we've all heard in the past. It was him saying, this is what I want, and I'm deciding this summer how to get that. And to me, if he's back with the Warriors, it's because he wants to be. But, like, I guess that's just not what I see in the immediate future as his role in this team is the star he wants to become.
Okay, let me ask you this.
It's as a sixth man. Like, that's his role next year.
Let me ask you this. Do you agree that Joe Lacob and the Warriors, Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr and company, all the decision makers, they do not want to let Kuminga walk for nothing? That would be the last thing that they would let happen.
Yeah.
You think so? Signing him and keeping him on the roster is more likely than that, right? Letting him leave for nothing.
Yes.
Okay. We're in agreement there.
Worst case scenario.
We're in agreement there. So then the other options are you sign him and you keep him, or you sign him and you trade him. Like, those are the options the Warriors have. If, say, you sign him to a $20 million deal and you trade him to the Miami Heat, a team that has reported interest, just looking at their cap figures, one player that would fit in that trade scenario, again, with the restricted sign-and-trade scenario, you can take back 50% of the money.
Well, there are ways that you can circumvent that with a third team.
And you could also attach more players and get more back. But, like, just for the sake of this thought experiment, the only player making the right amount on the Miami Heat is Kyle Anderson. So you could get Kyle Anderson back for Jonathan Kuminga. And, again, this is just a thought experiment. But if it's something of the return of a Kyle Anderson-ish kind of player, is that worth just getting the as the Warriors view it, the Kuminga problem off their hands now as opposed to in January?
No, but I also think that there are players that they might, if that's the best they can do, then yeah, you keep them. But again, that doesn't lead to anywhere positive for me. Like, you keep them just because you can't get rid of them. Again, it's you're coming to a breakup with your partner, and you can't decide who's going to keep the dog. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen now. It's going to happen in the future. And the only question is, in that time between you breaking up now and in a couple months, is how toxic it could get. And that's what I am trying to avoid.
I think the Warriors just have two not great options. And they're deciding they have a terrible option in letting Kuminga walk for free and getting nothing back. They have an option where they're trading Kuminga for pennies on the dollar, or they have a situation where a player that could not play for them in the postseason until Steph got hurt is still on their roster. Like, those are their three options. You are selling low on Kuminga, you're letting him leave for absolutely nothing, or you continue to have a player on your team that just does not fit what you try to do. Like, those are three losing options for me. So you have to pick the best of those three bad options. And it's hard, until you know exactly what the deal might be, it's hard to figure out what the best option is.
Oh, boy.
But the other thing Dunleavy said was, we want to work quick on this. Because you can't do anything until the Kuminga thing gets resolved, one way or another.
And I would say that is where JK has a little power. Because he doesn't have to do it right off the bat.
You're right. You're right about that. He doesn't maybe have the ultimate power to decide what happens, but he could put a little bit of pressure on the Warriors by being a little stubborn and delaying the process as long as possible.
Which would hurt them in trying to acquire other free agents. Speaking of, we got a couple minutes here before the boys come in. They're at Cache Creek Casino Resort getting set for their a listener golfing event tomorrow. Congratulations to everybody who is a part of that contest and is up north or headed there right now.
I think Zucci Main and Demetrius are our two winners, so congrats to those guys.
Oh, yeah, Demetrius called in last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan of the show. Big fan of Demetrius. Did you see what Ace Bailey's going through right now?
What the Utah Jazz are going through right now?
I mean, just speaking about a player that doesn't want to be there, it sounds like they took a guy that before, and there's like conflicting reports about his agent saying he never said that, but now he's not on a team flight to Washington. We talked about Walter Clayton Jr. He was headed to Washington, has no problem
going to Utah.
And Ace Bailey, essentially, through various channels, said, anybody in the top five, don't take me. Good luck.
And now he's unwilling to cooperate with the Jazz. The report that I read from Brian Windhorst was that there's been minimal contact between the Jazz and Ace Bailey since he was drafted fifth overall. And if you're not a huge college basketball fan, Ace Bailey, like a consensus top five talent, every single mock had him going in the top five. He has very, very publicly and notably like refused to work out for almost every team in the top five. He very notably refused to work out for the 76ers who were picking third overall. And he had made it known that he did not want to be a member of the Jazz either. He wanted to go to Washington at number six, but he was picked number five overall. I don't like the idea of a rookie, a dude who's never done anything in the NBA, like being this upset over where he got drafted. Just stick it out for a couple of years, buddy.
Well, I think he did everything he could to not go there, but
once you
don't
there,
have a choice.
No, you like, don't. It's a draft.
Steph Curry didn't want to be a Warrior.
Exactly.
He wanted to be a New York Knick. It's the greatest thing the Warriors ever did was not lean into, well, I don't know if I want to play there.
The anniversary of Steph being drafted was a couple of days ago. Obviously, it's always around this time. And the Warriors put out the video of Steph being drafted, and they splice up David Stern's voice with the live shot of Steph at whatever table he was sitting at in New York, wherever the draft was held. And like, as David Stern says, with the seventh pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Golden State Warriors select, in an entire moment, Steph Curry is sitting there, like, praying with his eyes closed. Like, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me. Steph Curry, point guard, Davidson. And then he's like,
he looked a little more excited than I thought he'd be. But this has happened in recent memory. Like, Evan Mobley didn't work out for the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
There are players that haven't worked out for teams that selected them, and it's like, I don't care. You're the best player on the board. Like,
yeah.
Show up.
And Ace Bailey's representation eventually said, well, the all the him denying individual workouts is overblown. He was at the combine and all teams saw him there. Like 18 teams interviewed him. It's like, yeah, it's not like these guys are completely foreign and unknown specimens. Like there's a lot of research that goes into it even without an individualized private workout. But I mean, generally, you go and work out for all the teams that are interested in drafting you. Generally.
If you're on a team run by Danny Ainge, don't worry, Ace Bailey, you're not going to be a Jazz for long. If you're any good, you're not going to be on the team for very long.
You're also not going to win with Danny Ainge.
No, but he wanted... Okay, so he would have been fine going to Washington?
For whatever reason, that's where he wanted to go, according to reports.
New Orleans was also a place he would have been fine going. That's one where I wonder, it's like, how bad is Utah?
I mean,
it can't be that
Utah's
bad.
Utah's got some good young talent. I think they're going to be okay.
I mean, they're going to stink. They just are. But
they'll be better than the Wizards.
Yeah, but the Wizards also got $100 million coming up in cap space next summer. I don't know. Maybe it's just the locale. He likes D.C. more. But the fact that he was willing to put out this flyer that he wasn't going to play for a team in the top five, like, with all due respect, who do you think you are?
You're nobody at this point. You're talented as hell, Ace. But your questions about how the hell Rutgers sucked last year with two top five picks, maybe that's why.
Like, you're not chuck up the deuces, Bailey. You're Ace Bailey. You're going to be a Utah Jazz. You don't get to just say goodbye, which we have to do right now because we got the crossover coming up next out of Cache Creek Casino Resort. Willard and Dibs are live. Looking forward to catching up with them in just a moment. Also got What's Bugging You coming up on the game.
Ooh.
All brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy, in for Stein and Guru. We're back with the crossover after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.